Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Just got a new flat screen today. We're playing Bionicles. Got all this off Craigslist. Work hard, play hard, baby.
Welcome to No Dunks presented by the NBA. That's game. I'm Tass Mellis. With me is the international man of mystery, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lele. And the man making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Usually, this time of year, it's the off season, but there's an exhibition going on in Las Vegas. Usually we're there, but this year we've got so many important things to do. For instance, the guys are recording a Fast and Furious recap of the entire movie series. There's a Formula One show coming out produced by No Dunks next week. We even have a show about the NBA Hall of Fame body parts wing. What? If the Hall of Fame had a wing with basketball body parts, what would be in it? That show is coming out tomorrow, Tuesday, August 17th. Check that out. It's an Apple exclusive. You got to subscribe on Apple for that. Actually, we had a lot of fun with that. So anyways, we're busy, but we do want to get to Summer League, and that's why we have the Athletic's Dave DeFore joining us from the arena in Vegas. Dave, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, it's the only place in Vegas with consistent Wi-Fi, so I figured I'd get up here kind of early. I mean, as you guys can see, I have the Vegas eyes. You know, I'm blending right in, and I've actually not hung out in Vegas once. I really haven't seen the sun for days. I just come into the gym, hang out here all day, and then leave, and yet still I look like I've been in a casino for the last 10 days. Yeah, my face just looks like a roulette wheel.
Yeah, we were talking off air, and I heard the little frog in your throat, and it brought me back, and you said, no, I mean... I asked if you had stayed up all night. You said no. Just Vegas. That's the way it rolls, man.
Well, obviously our reality right now, like, we're living in masks and trying to speak to people through masks. Basically, I turned into Doc Rivers after about 30 minutes. So, yeah.
So what's it like, though, out there, Dave? Because, I've seen a little bit on TV, and it looks like there's a fairly decent crowd attending a lot of the games. Like, apart from, obviously, people wearing masks, it kind of looks like it always does out there. Like, there's a lot of handshaking going on. There's a lot of back rubs going on, a lot of meeting and greeting and networking. So, is it just as normal? Because I know you've been there, obviously, in years prior.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's normal, right? There's a lot. I mean, everyone's doing the, hey, you don't know who I am, look at me without my mask for 2 seconds, but I don't know. We all are seeing our friends. There's a lot of hugging, and I know that we're not supposed to do that, but I'm sorry, I can't help myself. It really has been nice. I mean, like, with what we've all kind of gone through globally, to see your friends for the first time in a long time. It's been a great week. It's already my favorite week of the year because I get to see so many people that I really like and that I connect with on more than just basketball, like just similar sensibilities. And so it's been nice to catch up with so many of these people that I haven't seen. And I got to be honest, man, like, I haven't been in an arena with fans. The last time was at Sloan, March 2020. I was at the Utah Jazz Boston Celtics game like 5 days before the league shut down. And so for me personally, it's actually just been nice to see kids having fun watching basketball. Like, it's cool. I know that's corny, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, but I think we've missed a lot of that. We took it for granted for so long. So, to have it sort of coming back there like that, it does. It makes you appreciate it a little bit more. Talking about pulling your mask down, I mean, in the past, you just have to look at everyone's credential to be like, I recognize that guy, but I can't. I don't know quite who it is. I have to do a little quick look down to see who it is. So this year you're saying everyone's just like, yeah, yeah, it's me. Oh, yeah, hey, how you doing, man?
Well, especially me. I'm just another bald white dude with the mask on. You know, like, you don't get the whole iconic.
Who is that, image. John Hollinger? Yeah. But it's true that you are a hugger, and I'm glad to see you haven't changed, because I'm going to throw this up here on YouTube. I remember you came through the No Dunk studio last year. It's the first time we met, but we had a good hug, as you see here on the tube.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, man, I think that it's important to touch people. It's good, right?
It's one of our senses, man. We need them. Yeah. What hotel are you staying at?
I'm at the Link. I do sports business classroom here at Summer League every year, and you know, that's where we put up our students this year. The Palms, where we usually stay, I guess, is shut down for now. So we're at the Link, which is a different experience. I've never actually stayed on the Strip. It's a whole another ball game when you have to walk outside and, you know, at 6 a.m. and there's different things happening. at the Palms, you know, the pros stay there, so there's never anything happening on the floor outside. But the amateurs are out in full force. Let's just say that.
Yeah, no doubt. And Lee was saying it does feel similar on TV. I think they've done a good job of, you know, showing the product and making it feel like these are just like old summer leagues. And maybe I've been swayed because I haven't had to, you know, go through the everyday, the cycle of being there in Vegas. But it feels like a good summer league to me as well. And maybe that's because, again, I'm just seeing the little clips of guys throwing it behind their back and all that. But I don't know. Can you rank it? Is this the best summer league you've ever been to?
Sure. I mean, recency bias. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we're back in the gym, man. Like, so yeah. This is my favorite thing. Summer league is my favorite NBA basketball. Like, it's earnest. It's honest. There's a lot of guys out here that don't have jobs that are trying to get a job, and you can see that. I mean, good and bad. You can see that, right? Like, a lot of guys are a little bit maybe too excited trying to get a job, but I don't know. I love this. I love to see guys getting opportunity to showcase their talent, not just for NBA teams, G League teams, but for, you know, maybe they're going to go to Europe. And there's something about that as a basketball coach. You know, I'm a sucker for that. And there's not as much flopping here as you catch during, you know, like the NBA regular season.
Well, maybe they're trying to get used to the new rules, aren't they? I mean, I guess that's more, you know, you can't jump into the player any more out there. But I did want to ask, they're using the Wilson balls, I'm sure, then, for this season. Like, any talk about that? Anyone saying, man, I don't like these balls? Or is it just like, you know what, no one really cares?
It's a lot of guys who aren't used to touching the ball much, so I don't know if they noticed, right? Like, they're like, oh, right. It's a different ball? Oh, wait, is this what it always felt like? You know, I mean, you get, like, Desmond Bane out here running point guard, and he touches the ball, what, 5 or 6 times a game. So, no, nobody's actually brought up the ball, which I guess is a good thing, right? Because the last time that the league changed the ball, that was one of the big complaints, you know, that they went to that synthetic leather, and everyone only talked about the ball. So if you change balls and no one's mentioning it, I think that's a good thing. I mean, we would have content for days if the ball was awful, right?
Well, we should talk a little bit about the stars, as much as it is fun to talk about those guys. Your Josh Primos, who are going to make the roster, and how many minutes they're going to play. I do want to get your feel on some of the top guys in the draft. Let's just go straight to the top. Cade Cunningham with the Pistons. There was a little, I guess a little criticism after his first game. He took a couple shots and then just kind of faded away in that game. But he's bounced back. What is your take sort of on Cade Cunningham's game?
Well, my big take is you should never judge anyone by their first summer league game, right? And let's not forget, Killian Hayes was out there and I guess didn't realize why everyone was in the gym. You know, I wanted to see Cade just every possession take the ball. But I think there's a little bit of maturity there when you can be a Cade Cunningham, who was, you know, the number one pick. I mean, clearly the best player in this gym this whole week. And to kind of settle a little bit to be second banana. Like, Killian Hayes was running so much of the offense in those early games. And, you know, you watch Cade and he really just kind of blended in. And then as the week has gone on, one of the things I've noticed about him, more than just the play, like, he had the game where he hit 7 threes or whatever. I don't care about that. But he's a leader. And that's fascinating to watch for a guy who is a rookie. I mean, he's been a professional for, what, 10 days? pretty amazing the way that he's connected with his teammates. He's great about making eye contact. I mean, these are like weird things to pay attention to, but I think ultimately they are going to lead to his success in the league. I mean, when you watch the way he is engaged fully in summer league, I mean, this is the number one pick. He doesn't have to be here if he didn't want to. Like, he could just do the, oh, I tweaked my ankle and I'm out. But he's fully engaged with his teammates. So, the play is whatever. But I'm seeing flashes of a guy who is clearly going to be the number one dude for a team that needs one. I mean, and when was the last time the Pistons had a guy like that? I mean, Chauncey Billups?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a leader, I guess. Yeah,
a real leader.
Yeah.
And it's a young team. It's a young team. And so, you know, for him to come into the league with those natural instincts, I think that's kind of special. I mean, Luka had this, right? Like, we saw that first year with Luka, and we're seeing that with Cade. And, I mean, I think that's where he's going to differentiate himself, is to be able to step into a leadership role on day one. I mean, again, you go back and watch the film of him, and he is just fantastic with his teammates. It's really special.
It is. He is definitely getting everyone around him involved. And I listened to Jermaine O'Neal, who runs a camp in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, and he was on the Athletic NBA show with Aldridge and Marcus Thompson. He was talking about how Cade Cunningham came through that camp, and he was just a guy who wanted to get everybody involved. And I feel like that has been happening in summer league. I feel like there's a lot of maturity on the floor, not just from Cade Cunningham, but from a lot of the top picks. They seem to want to be there. They seem to just want to make their teammates better. And, Cade Cunningham kind of started slow, and then he banged home 7 threes. But I think Dwayne Casey in Detroit is going to love this guy, as you said, as a leader. I know there are some guys who are making some smart business decisions. They could be in the sports business classroom, Dave. They are deciding after a week, you know what? Time to go home. Jalen Green's hamstring, I mean, he's injured, but yeah, let's just get time to get out of there. Some of those guys are being smart about that. So let's get to Jalen Green, because I know a lot of people are claiming he has been the best player, the number two pick with the Rockets. And as much as I'm trying not to watch every minute of summer league, it's hard not to see Jalen Green. That guy has been a monster.
Well, luckily his highlights are stuff you want to watch, right? Like, it's that guy, I mean, not to be cliche, but he's a bucket. You know, I mean, he can get a bucket no matter what. Like, he just walks on the court, and you know that he can get to every spot. And I think that guy is going to be really, really good. I actually think he's going to wind up being a good defender. Houston in general had a bunch of fun athletic guys. I mean, Josh Christopher, I think, is a player. Like, I don't know if you saw how confident he was. He may have to do some G League time, but I think that guy is going to be an NBA player. Shingun has been a revelation. I haven't watched any of these guys in the lead up. My draft work is very limited. I basically spend like a month ahead of the draft catching up, because we're so in the weeds. I don't know how it is for you guys, but I'm so in the weeds with the NBA that it's hard for me to have the bandwidth. And so some of these guys I'm seeing, I mean, I'm definitely seeing them live for the first time, but I'm really getting a chance to see what they can do. You know, I hear and I read and you watch clips, but then you watch a full game. And I mean, what Shingun has done defensively has been eye-opening. I mean, it just he had one back-to-back possessions, just fantastic contests without fouling, very mobile, surprising. I don't know if you guys saw him doing the splits.
Oh, here we are. I'll show it to you right now. This guy's doing the splits during a game, just getting ready to check in. He's courtside in full splits position. Goodness. He's a 7-footer. I find that amazing. We just talked about the NBA Hall of Fame body parts. I mean, this guy is ready to be. We didn't have legs as a body part, but if,
or flexibility, maybe. I mean, that's maybe a little too specific.
But Hall of Fame groin is a whole different show. But you know, that flexibility, I mean, so that actually is strength. You know, flexibility is a good sign of strength for a guy. He's very strong. I mean, I'm not going to say he's in his man's body yet, but he's clearly more developed than the other guys in his age range. And when you see how solid he is with his defensive position, it's not a surprise when you watch him on the offensive end, because he gets seals early. He's got great feet, good hands. He's been one of the more impressive guys to me, just because it's not very flashy what he does, but it's very solid. And I'm interested to see how he and Jalen Green work together, because that is a fascinating combo. Like, what if the next 5 years we're watching the next Stockton and Malone, you know, the modern version of that, whatever it's going to be. It's going to, I guess he'll be pick and pop guy a little bit more than Malone, or at least shoot threes instead of the elbow, you know. But it's fun, man. I like, again, summer league is my favorite thing. It's so hopeful. Everyone comes to the gym. Nobody thinks their team is awful in summer league. No one's complaining, oh man, the Rockets are terrible. They're gonna be complaining that the Rockets are terrible because they're gonna be really bad this season, but there's a lot of hope here and it's fun, man.
What about, you know, one of the always draw cards in the last, well, I guess it was a couple of years ago when Lonzo Ball came out and LeVar was there. He brings the whole family, the whole entourage. You know, they opened the top upper floor there of the Thomas and Mack Arena. I think that's the first time they did it when Lonzo was playing. And so LiAngelo is out there. And look, I'll admit, I'm not sitting there. I'm not a summer league junkie. I'm not going through YouTube recaps every day of every game. But it's impossible to not ignore the fact that LiAngelo has been playing pretty well out there. The Hornets haven't been winning. Have you seen any of him? I mean, do you think he could actually get in? Because I think he's got a camp invite. I think that's where he's at right now. So he doesn't have a contract. But certainly from what I'm seeing online and from social media, it feels like LiAngelo might be in the league next season.
He might. I think he's a player. You know, we know he knows how to play. I mean, all the Ball brothers, the one thing that you cannot knock LeVar for is he taught those guys how to be good teammates. Don't they seem fun to play with? You know, like,
yeah.
Those are guys that I would like to play with. But LiAngelo in particular, he figured out how to shoot. He's gotten his body a little bit better because he's not the talent that his brothers are. Right. I don't know. There was one. It was a series of possessions in a row. You know, he hits a layup, comes down, has a fantastic defensive stop. You know, ball denial, perfect contest on a jump shot, runs the floor, hangs below the level of the ball, waits on the wing for the three, trail three, like Danny Green style, and you guys know I'm going to throw Danny Green in there. But it was just, you know, it's that basketball IQ is clearly there. And I think that if as long as he can keep his body in shape, which shouldn't be an issue, he might be a player. And this is one of, like, I was rooting for Alonzo to go to Charlotte because I actually like that kind of stuff. And I wonder what it would look like with those guys out there. But if he does play, his brother's going to get him like a 50-point game. I just feel it. You know what I mean? It's gonna happen. And I hope he makes it because it's fun, right? Like, and he plays a fun team style of basketball, and I think he's been pretty good, man. I like dig through the tape on him. It's surprising. He's figured something out. He may start in the G League, but I wouldn't be shocked if he comes up.
Yeah. Well, that's a bit like LaMelo. I mean, he obviously went to Australia and played. You know, he didn't go through the college system. So for LiAngelo, you know, maybe it just takes a little bit longer. I think he was on the Pistons roster last year for a cup of coffee. So he sort of has dabbled. But, you know, like Lonzo and like LaMelo, you know, that shot isn't the prettiest in the world. But both Lonzo and LaMelo figured out a way to get it to go in. So if they can knock down those shots, we know they've got good court vision, they're good passers, they're good rebounders. And as you say, they are good teammates. Like, you know, they don't really have that reputation that I sort of thought LaVar might, you know, put onto them as far as them being attention seekers and loud and almost disruptive. Instead, they're kind of pretty humble. So, you know, based on his two brothers, I think LiAngelo playing well here really has put himself in a good position to, you know, to get a solid contract for next season, which it'd be great to see.
And to jump on, you mentioned the G League a few times, and what I like about Summer League happening and with Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga coming from the G League last year, it's becoming less and less taboo just to utter the word G League in the same sentence with potential NBA player. I would think like a LiAngelo Ball or you know, some of the guys, Josh Christopher, you mentioned potentially going to the G League, playing aside a guy who came from the G League and Jalen Green with that 1 year program. I think it's becoming a little bit more accepted by NBA players that they can go down to a minor league system. I know a lot of guys have come from the minor league. You mentioned Danny Green. He honed that shot there in the D League. That's how long ago that was. But I think it is becoming a little bit more acceptable for these guys to go and hone their craft. And I think LiAngelo Ball, obviously, even though he had a cup of coffee, an invite with the Pistons, he never suited up for them. Right. He obviously went somewhere and worked on his game. And that's what everybody has to do to come back and be a part of an NBA roster. And I think LiAngelo Ball could do that, although they have other guys that are going to be catch and shooting LaMelo Ball's passes next year because they did some good work with James Bouknight at number 11. He is catch and shooting. he's on fire out there. And then Kai Jones at number 19, throwing down some dunks. I think I'm kind of excited for the Rockets next year with all those parts that you mentioned there, especially Jalen Green, how freaking good he is in space, just finding the hole. But the Hornets were exciting last year. Miles Bridges, LaMelo, and others. And now they're adding Book Knight. They're adding Kai Jones. I think lock it in. I think they're going to be the most exciting team next year just to watch. Whether or not they're a top six team, that's going to be hard in the East. But I think they'll be a hot ticket anyway to watch next season.
They have good energy, right? The ball has energy. This is a Mike D'Antoni thing. The ball has energy, so you want to see it move. They are strict in their 0.5 principles, which is, you know, that half a second that you get to make a decision. You're either going to shoot it, you're going to pass it, you're going to drive, right? Like, they are strict about it, and I think Coach Borrego has done a great job. I mean, plain and simple. I mean, they're getting him an extension, I think. I don't know if they've wrapped that up, but he's going to extend.
I think they announced that already, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so. And well-deserved. I mean, this was a team that had no hope, and, you know, you add a couple of talented players and a really, really talented coach from San Antonio, you know, so he knows how it's done. He's been there. He's seen it. And it's pretty clear that they're building something fun and special. And so they were already, like, number one in my league past rankings last year. I mean, you know, Danny LaRue loves them, and so you know that they're good. but I will say this. Book Knight, he better hope Davion Mitchell isn't out there every night. Because I watched Davion Mitchell lock him up. I mean, that was a defensive display like I've never seen at Summer League. I mean, Summer League is great basketball, but it's not usually amazing defense. And Davion Mitchell really put it on James Book Knight. I don't know if there was something personal there or not, but I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, Sacramento Kings guard, number 9 pick. He plays a lot bigger than his size. I question when they drafted him, you know, do you want to play him with De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Haliburton? Is that the pick to make at number 9? But he literally shut down an NBA player next year at Summer League. Like, literally sent him the other way. Like, 24 seconds of defense. No, sir. You are not getting a shot off. Davion Mitchell is the real deal defensively. I wonder if they play all those three guys in Sacramento. That was something that never happens at Summer League. You're allowed to get a shot off. But that was really impressive.
Yeah, it was like the Devin Booker, the gym sessions from a couple of years ago. Like, what are we doing? What's happening here? And you know, pretty quickly Charlotte started subbing Book Knight out when Davion Mitchell was in there, and I get it, because you need those guys to get those reps. And Davion Mitchell was not interested. He didn't care what their plan was. He was like, nope, he's not touching the ball. And I was really, really impressed by that. It was a guy that really wanted to make a statement. I talked to a friend of mine that works on the coaching staff with the Kings, and she feels like he's going to be able to guard up with no problem. Now, I don't know if I agree with that, but I'm curious to see it. I mean, he's got an NBA-ready body. He clearly can defend. Maybe the offensive end could be an issue, but I don't know. A 6'1" guy guarding 6'7" wings in the NBA is feels precarious.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't happen often. Speaking of guys who are trying to make an impact, and again, I know you haven't been sort of watching every single game, but it's hard to sort of not know that Bol Bol has had a couple of really good moments. And I'm a big Bol-lever in Bol Bol, but he hasn't really been able to, you know, grasp a firm place in the Nuggets rotation. There was talk about, you know, a trade there with the Aaron Gordon stuff. They wanted to keep Bol Bol. They also think that, you know, he can be a contributor. Anything you're seeing or hearing that this is more than just a summer? I think he had 26 points the other day. He's going coast to coast. Like, he's got incredible handle for a guy that big and that lanky. So are you hearing anything that you know, maybe this is the sort of time for Bol Bol to get a bit more of a permanent spot in the rotation for the Nuggets?
We're going deep, Dave. We're going deep,
yeah, man.
Baby.
Yeah.
I love Dave's it. On the spot. I love it so much. I love it. You know, I think it's important not to get bowled over by Summer League. Uh-huh.
Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Keep going.
I will say I did. I actually got to see some bowl, and I like that he's got the ball in his hands a little bit here. The pull-up, the off-the-dribble threes that he's been taking, those are good. I mean, if you think about it, he's a wing, and if he's going to play, he's got to play on the wing, because you're not going to play him in the middle. Even when they zoned up with him at center last year, it didn't work well. Like, he doesn't have the natural instincts to guard in the middle, protect the rim. And you can't do with him what they're able to do with Jokic, because his feet aren't as good. You know, Jokic is able to come up. He can blitz and use his hands. I mean, that's actually where he's best defensively. It's a little bit confusing because we're so used to the drop big and playing at the rim. But Jokic and what he does is kind of special. But Bol can't do that stuff. So I think that ultimately if he's going to play, he's going to be on the wing. I don't know who he guards. Maybe no one. But he can put it in the basket. That's never been the question, right? Like the question with him has always been, what's he going to do on the defensive end? I'd like to see him get a role there. I mean, you know, backup player defense just isn't as important. He's not going to get a lot of minutes against Embiid or anything like that. So I'd like to see them throw him out there a bit. But, you know, we'll see. I don't think I can believe it yet.
Was that a believe it?
Believe it.
I believe it. I believe you did that. Let's take a quick break because we got to talk about Jalen Suggs. I know people want to hear whether or not the Raptors made the right pick at four with Scottie Barnes. Here's the answer. In the words, you think so, Dave? I agree with you. In the words of Scottie Barnes, bang, bitch. We'll get to that in a sec. We'll talk Jonathan Kuminga. We'll talk the Clippers trade. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks. All right, we're back with No Dunks. I want to get into the Scottie Barnes, Jalen Suggs scenario at the 4-5 picks in the NBA draft. I know a lot of fans were surprised the Raptors took Scottie Barnes at 4, but I know a lot of front offices would have made that same pick. Although, obviously, Jalen Suggs, that guy can ball. But let's start with Scottie. You said that it wasn't a mistake in your eyes that the Raps took Scottie Barnes. What do you think about him so far?
I mean, they took a good player who comes into the league with an NBA body, right? So he is going to make an impact from day one. And I don't know if that matters or not, but I happen to just like players that can play basketball. you know, I think we get a little bit too hung up on shooting for the guy who may be a Hall of Famer instead of, wow, this guy's going to be really good for a really long time, and we know he's going to be really good for a really long time. Like, Scottie Barnes can play basketball. He can play offense. He can play defense. He's going to start from day one, and he is a starter. I think that matters for a team that I don't know that they want to tank. You know, I think that if they bring everyone back, this is a team that should be trying to compete for the playoffs, and if you want a guy who's going to contribute to that, Scottie Barnes is the guy. I don't know if Suggs is right now. Now, Suggs may wind up being a better player long-term, and certainly, you know, Masai might get roasted if he's putting up, you know, 30 a game. But I don't know. I like Scottie Barnes a lot. I liked him in high school. I liked him when I've seen him at USA camp. And I think that that guy's going to be a really, really good player. He's a connector on the court. And people keep bringing up Draymond Green, and I think it's just because they don't know what to do with guys that can do so many things, and especially at his size and the way that he can play defense. But the truth is, Scotty Barnes is Scotty Barnes. He's one of one, and it's going to be – he's a unique player, and I'm curious to see how his game grows. Too many folks think that he's, you know, already where he is going to wind up. They're not projecting the same growth for Scotty Barnes for some reason. It's like, this guy's 19 years old. Who knows what he's going to be?
That's a great take, Dave DeFore. That's a great take. That's why you're a lifer here on No Dunks. And I think the growth that people should be projecting is a high one for Scotty Barnes, because he said it on when he got drafted that he wants to be one of the best players in the NBA. I think he's not afraid of the offensive end whatsoever. The defensive body and what he looks like in comparison to other NBA players, guys who are going to be in the league right now, is important. He can go out there and he's not going to get pushed over. He's going to make an impact on that end, and he has already made an impact on the other end. He airballed the three, and then he kept shooting them. He's not scared, and I think that's going to continue into his NBA life. I believe in him, and I think he believes in himself, and that's why he dropped the bang, bitch, when he hit that three. Our friend Great Dane, with a great drawing of Scotty Barnes, we're showing you here on YouTube. The guy's a believer. He's blowing his pistol after shooting that three. But Jalen Suggs also obviously believes in himself. He was pretty freaking great. I just think the maturity of a lot of these guys, as I said earlier, I don't know if they're just – the programs are getting better. You know yourself.
No, the
Dave.
Kids are good. The kids are good, man. That's what it is. And maybe this could be the LeBron effect. But if you look at the league, the guys under 25, they have the best vibes, right? Like, these guys, they share the ball. And again, this could be the LeBron effect, where you have the best player in the league is so well known for getting other people involved, making the right play, making the right pass. And now we have a generation that grew up watching that guy. It's cool, man. Like, Ja Morant is awesome. Like, just perfect vibes. Looks like a great teammate. LaMelo Ball, like we just talked about. Anthony Edwards, who is the king of vibes. He somehow stole the title from Ricky Rubio. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I really like where the league is headed. It's got so much talent. And, you know, you talked about the G League. The G League probably is about 50% NBA players at this point. I mean, that's how talented right. The league is overall. And so it's nice to see that not only do you need to have talent, but you also have to have good vibes, because I think basketball at its peak is a good vibe sport. I mean, it's a communist sport if you want to get technical, because you have to share the ball and everybody has to be a part. You know, like, everyone has to grab the rope. And so many of these young guys come in understanding that. I mean, I talked about Cade Cunningham's leadership in summer league, which is such a silly thing to say, but it exists. And so generally, younger guys in the league just have better vibes. I don't know what it is. I want to figure it out, but I'm enjoying it. All of these guys just seem like good dudes who want to hoop, and I respect it, because I can relate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they're just not jaded quite yet by the business of it all, even though they're sort of involved in the business side of things already. Maybe they haven't been traded after giving it all, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards is never going to be jaded.
No. I mean, he came into the arena where you're sitting right now doing this interview, and he did an interview. And as you said, he's the king of social media. He's the king of interviews. That guy is money on the mic. I look forward to the Timberwolves next year. I think they're going to grow, especially because of you know, guys like that, like the swagger on him. I think Jaden McDaniels has been really good in summer league as a second year guy. But yeah, there's guys who not only believe in themselves, like Jalen Suggs, for instance. He's ready to take a game winner in his first game. But up and down this draft class, even I think Jonathan Kuminga at 7. You talk about the Warriors potentially being, you know, great again. You mentioned Draymond Green, a healthy Clay and Steph, and then they get a guy at 6'8", 210. Marcus Thompson on The Athletic described Jonathan Kuminga as a bully. And if he gets a little space, he's shown that he can just dominate guys physically, and he's going to get space to shoot with Steph and Clay. Have you been as impressed as I have with Jonathan Kuminga, who people were also a little speculative about, because he's got a lot of talent, but he hasn't necessarily put it all together in his 1 year of G League. But the guy's 18 frickin' years old.
I think the 18 years old thing is important to keep in mind when you're thinking about him. He has bolder shoulders at 18. He's gonna be a bigger guy in 3 or 4 years than he already is, and he's already a man amongst boys here at Summer League. He's a little bit shiftier than I expected. He's got nice burst and you know, gets this little, you know, one dribble move and can get to the hoop. I mean, we've all seen the dunks, right? The guy is looking down at the rim when he's dunking, and he's able to get there like that. I mean, he's just so quick at getting up to the basket, which for a guy his size is kind of unique. So I've liked seeing him on the ball as an initiator and being aggressive, pushing the issue, trying to get to the basket. I'm curious how it's going to work having a guy who is going to be figuring things out on a team that expects to compete, I mean, for a title, not just make the playoffs. So I don't know if they're going to keep if he's going to get a lot of run. I suspect that he needs more G League time to learn how to play Warriors basketball. I mean, playing with Steph Curry is a little bit different than playing with other guys. You have more responsibilities. You know, your screening responsibilities are different. And passing, that's going to be the biggest skill that he needs to develop. Can he figure out how to hit guys, you know, movement shooters like Klay and Steph on the move, hit them in their shooting pocket, setting up for the threes that they need to take that actually is going to open up the space for him to attack the basket. Those sorts of things. So what we're seeing in Summer League is maybe a precursor to what we see in the regular season, but I'm curious to see how it fits and if he's a part of the rotation for a team that, like I said, I mean, they want to make the finals, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You have Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. You should be trying to make the finals every year. I don't know if Kuminga is a guy that's going to contribute to that yet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with it's a bit late last year with Wiseman. I mean, do the Warriors keep these young guys, or do they try to maybe package one or both of them even to get a vet? You know, they brought back Andre Iguodala, obviously. Now, Iggy's not the same player he was when he won the finals MVP. You know, he's certainly at the tail end of his career. But I feel that, you know, we're all very excited to have Klay Thompson back next season, assuming obviously everything goes well. But I do still feel the Warriors are, you know, that piece away from really contending out in the West. I mean, maybe not. Maybe if when Draymond's, you know, there with Steph and Klay, they just bring that old chemistry back. But I just wonder if the Warriors do move on from one of these guys just to get that, you know, another big or someone who's more complementary to their styles, or just in that win now mode, you know, because these younger guys just aren't.
I have no expectations of Klay Thompson. You know, I think that that's kind of the big question mark for me. We saw what Steph did last year. I think Draymond is going to come back, especially from the Olympics, and just be more motivated and ready to go. But, of course, we know that he's going to take the regular season to get himself ready for the playoffs. But Klay coming back from 2 years off and two big-time injuries.
Yeah.
And the ACL is more concerning to me for Klay than the Achilles, because the ACL, you know, it seems like it affects shooters worse than guys who play on the ball, which I know is a funny thing. But if you look at the statistics of shooters coming back from ACL injuries, it doesn't go well, usually. The trends are down, and he's aging. So I don't want to be like, oh, he's 32. I think he's 32. He's 32. He's basically got one foot in the grave. But coming back from 2 years off, two significant leg injuries, if you're expecting Klay Thompson to be an all NBA level player, I think that that's an unrealistic expectation. Right now, he's a mystery box, and I think that going into the season, if you're Golden State, you have to approach it that way. You can't rest on your laurels if you expect to make the finals and say, "Well, we got Klay back," because we don't know if he's still Klay.
Yeah, I mean, looking at what Durant did though, coming off an Achilles, obviously he didn't have the ACL as well. But he had an Achilles that, you know, a lot of guys who have had it has said it's virtually ended their career because they don't get that explosiveness. But Kevin Durant's probably the greatest example I think we've seen of anybody coming back from an Achilles, where it's like, man, he was, you know, in the MVP conversation. If it wasn't for sort of coronavirus and a few other things this season, he probably was right there with those other guys. So in that to that point, you know, I think Klay, I'm pretty confident that as a shooter and from what we've seen from Klay, he'll be able to get back to that same level. It might take him a few months just to adapt again. But, you know, in some ways, I think that just the advancements in, you know, technology and the way guys recover, seeing what it did for Durant, I don't quite have the same sort of fear anymore that it can basically end a guy's career, which is great.
Right.
You know, because because Kevin Durant in some aspects had his best season. You know, the way that he just came out there was smoothly scoring and doing it all. So hopefully that's a positive sign that what we might be able to see from Clay when he does return.
I will say that I think Durant getting the extra time off after the Achilles, I mean, he was basically out for, what, 18 months or something like that?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Clay has had the extra time from the ACL, but not from the Achilles. And the Achilles injury has prevented him from doing basketball stuff. So, again, it's just I worry about what it's going to look like as he's coming back. I hope – honestly, I hope they keep him out until January. That way he gets right. That extra window. You're probably good enough that you can at least hang in the playoff race until then, but the extra time is key on that Achilles. I mean, I think Kevin Durant is a perfect example of what a guy can look like now coming back from an Achilles with modern medicine. I mean, the surgical techniques have improved so much. I mean, we always forget that Rudy Gay had a torn Achilles. I mean, he came back just as explosive. I mean, Kevin Durant was – I mean, I've never seen a guy shoot contested shots like that. And maybe that's because of limited fans or whatever, or he was just it was pent up energy for Kevin Durant, and he was like, well, I can't miss a shot this year. I don't know what it was, but the Achilles clearly wasn't a problem for him. So I hope we see the same thing with Clay, but I can't assume it.
Right. The expectations, the range on those expectations is going to be pretty dramatic for the Golden State Warriors. The people are going to have them, I think, even as high as first in the West. It's pretty low. I think one guy we should mention is Moses Moody, who's out there in Vegas being a defensive a glue guy that's probably going to get help from Iguodala as a wing defender. He looks like he's ready to contribute to the Golden State Warriors. That's a classic preseason question we're going to be asking. What team has the biggest, you know, the biggest chasm of expectations? The Warriors should be one. One other preseason question we love to ask is, who's going to take that jump from year one to year two? I mentioned Jaden McDaniels is a guy with the Timberwolves, I think has been really good out there from what I've seen. Anybody else that strikes you as a guy who could take a jump, Dave?
Desmond Bain. You look at what Memphis did. They clearly had a goal in mind. They wanted him doing more playmaking on the ball. We saw that in college from him. It was one of the things that I actually liked about him was that I thought he could be a secondary, for sure a tertiary NBA playmaker. I mean, we know about the shooting. Teams respect the shooting, and now they've got a guy that I think that they trust on the wing, because I believe he'll start next to Ja. When Ja gets into the paint and the defense is sucked in, they're going to be able to hit Bane on the wing, and you're going to be able to run side pick and roll because you know he can find a shooter, but also the threat of him shooting is going to create an advantage for their offense. So I think Desmond Bane is going, he's poised for a big time season. He's going to open a lot of eyes, and we're going to get a lot of, you know, revisionist history on the draft, and a lot of people like myself will probably say, wow, the Warriors should have gotten this guy. He can play. Yeah. I mean, drafting good players, it's a hell of a draft strategy. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Zach Kleiman, who's the GM of the Grizzlies. He popped into Sports Business Classroom. And I said, hey, man, I love that you just draft guys who can play already. Weird. You know, like good basketball players playing basketball, it works. And, you know, you get some success that is actually sustainable.
As a rookie, shot it, too. He was ready to 4 threes a game last year, and he shot 43%. It was probably something that
need that volume to go up, though. I want to see him, you know, like let's get like 7-8 threes per 36. That's the guy who should be doing that. I think he could be a 45% three-point shooter on catch and shoot stuff. Like there's no question about it that he can put it in the basket. Now they need him to become a secondary guy, secondary playmaker or tertiary playmaker when Jaren Jackson is out there and healthy, because that's going to be the thing that takes them to the next level and makes them a real playoff team, not a play-in.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are one of the most exciting potential teams next season. You know, can Ja turn this super incredible talent into, you know, I mean, they had a, you know, made the playoffs. They took a game off the Jazz as well. You know, he's certainly living up to his end of the billing. But can Jaren Jackson stay on the court? I think that's probably the biggest question for the Grizzlies heading into next season, because there's no question he's got the talent. Now, he's an unusual player too, because he's 6'11", but he's not a big as such. He's more a bit like Bol Bol, a bit of a wing player. You know, he loves shooting those threes. He's not a great rebounder. So, you know, where are they going to find? They traded Valanciunas as well, which was, you know, a bit of an unusual move. And they've made a few other deals as well, just in the last 24 hours here. So, very, you know, somewhat optimistic about the Grizzlies, but also not sure if they are better than they were last season right now.
They may not be. A lot of this is going to be internal development. You know, Ja getting better. Jaren, you mentioned Jaren staying on the court. Him being healthy, being able to get a full camp is going to be important for him. Hopefully he doesn't foul as much. That's another issue with Jaren, is that not only can he not stay on the court so far because of the physical stuff, which it happens, right? Like guys get hurt. He had a knee thing, and it's been a weird couple of seasons too. So I think there's a little bit of caution on the Grizzlies' behalf. But he also fouls too much, and so you cannot take yourself off the court, in particular when you have a hard time being on the court. So that's the sort of growth I want to see from Jaren, is staying on the court, you know. And for Ja, it's going to be about the three ball. Can he shoot the three better, especially off the dribble? And I think with Bane out there, you're going to get a little bit more space than he had before. Like, people are going to respect Bane. People are going to respect Jaren Jackson as a shooter. I mean, which is, if you look at his numbers, he's on pace to be the most prolific big man three-point shooter in NBA history. I mean, it is absurd what this guy has done so far in his career. And he was someone that I was high on as an all-time potential defender because of his defensive feel, and that hasn't developed. I've been shocked by that, actually. The fouling still gets in his way. But Memphis is exciting because everyone can play. Their biggest problem is we have too many guys. They're going to have to make consolidation trades. And, I mean, you know, we haven't even talked about Brandon Clark, who was, you know, had a really weird season this past year, but is still a good player. So they've got so many guys on that team. You know, Xavier Tillman, who we're not even talking about. So they've done a good job of collecting good basketball players. I'm really curious to see how it's going to look when they make a team out of it.
And you're not just saying that because their GM came through sports business classroom and talked to everybody. No, they are a collection of talent, absolutely. And you said one of their issues is how much talent they've collected, and we should talk about the trade that they just made. They added on a couple more players, which is surprising. Eric Bledsoe, if everyone remembers, he was a member of the New Orleans Pelicans, but went to the Memphis Grizzlies earlier in the offseason. Now they've traded him to the Clippers for Patrick Beverley, Rajon Rondo, and Daniel Oturu. So they added another couple of players. Eric Bledsoe, I would think, is going to be a part of the Clippers rotation. They've obviously given up on 2 point guards there, and Beverley and Rondo, and they just hope Eric Bledsoe can be a little bit of a playmaker, especially with Kawhi out. They save a lot of money in this deal. But the Grizzlies, what do you think they're doing with this collection of Beverley, Rondo, and a big man in Oturu, Dave?
Well, this is the Oturu trade, right? when they traded for Josh Jackson and De'Anthony Melton, we called it the Melton trade. Because you have to look, I mean, you know, get past the Pat Beverley and the Rajon Rondo. Think about where Memphis is as a team. This is what a easy way to pick up a young guy who might have some talent. Again, it's more bites at the apple for Memphis, and they're doing a great job of getting these guys. I mean, even that Josh Jackson trade, it was worth a shot, and it just didn't work out for them. But they got
D'Anthony Melton. But the Melton part worked great. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm excited to see what they do with Oturu. I mean, this is yet another big, and he might not get any minutes, but if he does, this is a team that certainly knows how to showcase those guys, and I'm curious to see what happens. Again, collecting another good young player, or potentially good young player.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got to take one more quick break, but I do want to get to the sports business classroom that you're involved in every year, and a potential sponsorship. I think we could have a co-sponsorship between yourself at The Athletic and between No Dunks. We'll get to that in a second after a really quick break, and I mean a really quick break. This is just one ad. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are back with The Athletic's Dave DeFore. I really enjoyed this conversation so far, Dave. And we actually partook in the sports business classroom a few years ago. We had a lot of fun doing that. We were with NBA TV and the starters back then. You've been doing it year in and year out. Can you tell people who are listening about the sports business classroom? Because I do think they would be interested.
You know, it's an interesting thing. We're like embedded in Summer League, which is unique in and of itself. But, you know, it's a CBA, salary cap, scouting, analytics, basketball ops, media and broadcasting crash course, I guess you could call it. Larry Kuhn, who is Mr. CBA and salary cap, teaches people who want to work in the league how it operates. And, you know, I put together a class. I don't teach the class. I more produce it. I bring in people like this year we had Brian Pauga, who used to be the assistant GM of the Timberwolves, Dan Purcell, who was a longtime scout with the Pelicans, Seth Partnow from The Athletic running our analytics course, Eric Pincus works there, Bo Estes from NBA TV, which I know, good buddy of you guys. It's a really, really unique place. It's a lot of, I mean, you guys know a lot of people in the league, and you know that it's a relationship business and all of this stuff. And so people get to come into our class, meet people, which is very hard to do, but actually learn how to get jobs in and around basketball, and to learn that there's more than just sitting on the bench as a coach or being a player or a GM. There, you know, ticket sales, there's the media stuff, there's social media, there's so many jobs in basketball. So we're actually helping people chase down their passions. And again, I start to get corny when I talk about it, but I don't mind. A lot of earnest people putting in a lot of hard work, and you know, we spend the week working hard with them and for them. So it's a fun time, and we're right in the middle of basically basketball convention, and it's a cool time to hang out with people who are also passionate about the sport. It's, I don't know, it's my favorite week of the year.
I saw Larry Kuhn coming out to a standing ovation almost. I mean, are they playing the Alan Parsons Project music when he comes out there, like the Chicago Bulls from the Jordan days?
They ought to. I mean, listen, you guys know Larry, and there's no better guy on the planet. And it's apparent. And these, you know, our students saw him working his butt off all week long for them. I mean, you know, he's the first one in the gym and the last one to leave. And I mean it. I mean, like, we're here every morning at 7:30 in the morning. We don't see a lick of basketball, and we go home at like 10 o'clock at night. But these people have kind of put their dreams in our hands, and we take it seriously. It's a privilege, to be honest with you. And I know, again, I know that sounds corny, and certainly this is something that costs money and makes money, and it's easy to be kind of a cynic about it, but I don't know, man. I don't like being cynical. It's fun.
And Larry deserves to pop a bottle at the end of all that. So that's
right.
Why I'm showing you a bottle of Larry Kuhn with a bottle of Barolo celebrating there. I don't know much about the wine world, but I know those Barolos are very good.
Yeah.
Touch sweet.
A little bit.
If I'm not mistaken, but yeah. Freaking good.
Yeah. Ryan McDonough brought that for us. He helped us out with the program, former Suns GM, obviously. And he knows that when we're in Vegas, Larry and I like to get after it a little bit. We drink pretty good scotch and we drink a pretty good bottle of wine every night. And that was our bottle for our family dinner when we wrapped for the week. So it was pretty nice. And yeah, man, having a good time. Good people.
Yep. What was that scotch that you were showcasing? There was a couple, I guess.
Well, I brought a Lagavulin 18 Distillers Edition. I bought it in 2014 on my way out of Europe. Yeah, it was delicious, man. I was saving it. We were going to have it last year. And so I haven't opened this thing. And Larry and I always bring a bottle. And he outdoes me every year. It's not fair. I'm operating, you know, like below the cap. And he's like, yeah, here's this bottle I flew in from Japan. I'm like, okay. But, you know, it's a good time, man. Like, to be able to share so many passions with Larry Kuhn is like a brother to me. And I'm going to start getting really, really corny here. But to be able to share so many passions with somebody who is also just such a good person, it's fun, man. Like, again, this is a special place and special people. And I love Summer League. It's the best. It's the best.
Yes, it is a good time because it's the people who really want to be there are generally there. There aren't the showboater fans generally. You got to love ball if you're watching.
Yeah.
I mean, the jerseys in this place, man. There was a Sarunas Marcellonas jersey floating around here. I mean, this is It's basketball Woodstock.
Yeah,
it's fun, man. It's impossible to be here and not feel that energy and kind of get good vibes out of it. And I mean, this, what a great place if you have a kid that you want to introduce to the NBA, you can buy a ticket for I don't know what they are, like $50. You could show up at 1 o'clock and you can watch games until the kid is passed out. Like, what a cool place. I mean, there's nothing
and
like
pretty it. Close to the action too. That's the thing. Like, you're not up in the nosebleeds. I don't think they actually even like allocate seats, do they? I think you just buy a ticket and you sit wherever you want. So yeah, you can get courtside access to, you know, the next generation, and in some cases, like super cool bees, you can get some past legends out there as well. So but on top of that, yeah, you see LeBron sometimes out there, and Wade, and you know, legends of the game. So yeah, I agree with you, it is actually a really cool experience if you have kids who are interested, and you know, you want to be out in Vegas and watch some basketball. Yeah, not the greatest basketball of all time, but fun basketball and a fun activity. And everyone's just a little bit looser too, because you're not in the middle of the season where sometimes when you have a conversation with people who are involved in teams and front offices, there's something going on. Maybe there's a trade going down. So they're a little bit more tense. But out there, everyone seems a lot happier to just talk and to, you know, shoot the shit with everybody, which makes it a great fun activity.
Yeah, this is the thing that brought us all together. You know what I mean? It's right. Basketball. And I think that at Summer League, this is the most pure NBA basketball that there is. It's very earnest and honest and, I don't know, guys trying to get a job. Like, we can all relate to that. You know, we all work hard to be where we are. You guys have been doing this forever. I mean, they're about to start a practice here, and I get to watch these guys who are chasing their dream, and it's really cool to see that this close. And it's different. It's a different experience, especially after what we all went through, right? Like, we lost this last year, and it makes me appreciate it even more.
Right, for sure. Well, we will let you do your thing. I did sort of tease a sponsorship, a co-sponsorship that we could have. Now, it's not as good as a potential Scotch sponsorship, which would be more interesting. But I saw you rocking these Sauconys on the Basket Bud set, the Athletic NBA show. I'm a Saucony man myself. And these are beauts.
Thank you.
These are classics. We got to get people on the horn here at the Athletic to get us a Saucony deal. Because, you know, these are, I don't know if these are called the Jazz Retros or something that you're rocking here. We're showing them to you on YouTube, but they're pretty. And that's why they had you on the end of the set, so they could show off your legs and show off those Sauconys.
That's right. I don't skip leg day, guys. Those are the Saucony Jazz Low Pro. I think I have like 15 pairs. You know, they're comfortable, nice, zero drop shoes. And yeah, I've been working on a Saucony sponsorship for about 2 years now. I always hit up my friend Mike Sykes, who I don't know if you guys follow, but he's a great shoe follow guy. So I hit him up all the time. And yeah, Saucony, holler at your boy. Come on. I wear these things. Yeah, they're comfortable. They're colorful and they're fun and they're not expensive. Great shoes.
It
although
looks
today,
like you need a pair.
We got.
Nice.
We're on vacation mode now.
Yeah. I was going to say, it looks like you need a pair of socks to go with the Sauconys there as well in the in that photo. Were they just the ankle socks in there, or you going sockless?
Oh, yeah, okay. It's too sweaty around here. Come on.
Yeah,
you
can't
go
sockless. I don't.
Just blow your shoes up. Yeah, but it's a fun time. And yeah, we definitely put me on the end to show my legs off. Come on.
Well, we appreciate your time, Dave. Any social media plugs, anything else you want to plug other than your love for Sauconys?
No. Just subscribe to The Athletic. Leave a 5-star review for this podcast. You know, I'm bad at plugging. Everybody knows where I'm at, and I'm on every podcast here. So turn on an Athletic podcast, and you'll hear me probably.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, man. Really, really appreciate the time. Enjoy your last day or two. You said you're driving out.
Yeah, I'm going to drive. I've been hitting up. I move all the time, so I collect friends in a lot of places, and it's been nice to be able to pop through and, you know, drink a beer outside with my buddies. It's hopefully we're moving back to normal, although it doesn't feel like it. But,
I don't know if we are.
I know. I hope so. I'm hopeful for the fall that people are going to turn this around. I mean, it takes us to do it, you know. But it's been good for me to be able to stretch my legs a little bit. I'm a road trip guy. I mean, you guys know. I was in Atlanta, what was it, December of 19, right, on another road trip. So I need these road trips. So let's straighten this out. Let's get back to normal.
Right on, man. Hopefully we are having another beer in Atlanta soon. Hopefully you come through. We do love plugging stuff here on the show, so I'm going to plug our Fast and Furious series. These guys will be dropping another one this week. Fast and Furious number 3, Formula One show coming up. Apple exclusive on the Hall of Fame body parts. So make sure you tune in for that. Thanks so much for tuning in to this. Now it's time for the Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. And remember, let's hope that this season, Bol Bol is more than just a role player.
Embrace Summer League, people. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, guys.
You could stay, ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long that you're the one I've waited for. It's happened already. It's gonna be groovy.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.